That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen.
Thank you, Roland. The Sea of Galilee is a very important geographical place in Israel. It's actually a reservoir. The whole country depends on the Sea of Galilee for their water supply. So it's a very important part of Israel. This incident happened after Jesus had been teaching. Crowds had followed him, so he was obviously fairly tired. In order to avoid having to walk around the top of the lake, they took a shortcut. We think that's where they were heading for, because they were near Capernaum and heading for the country of the Gadarenes. The next chapter talks about the Gadarene demoniac who was Jesus delivered. So probably that was what they were set out to do, much quicker than walking around the top of Galilee. Now normally, Sea of Galilee is quite placid. We went there 25 years ago to Israel, and Sea of Galilee was lovely and blue and quiet. And it may have been just like that when they set out in the boat. Now Jesus said, "We're going to take the boat and cross the sea." And so they set out. Now, these were hardened fishermen. They were used to storms, of course, but apparently the geographical situation there and the topographical lie of the land means that storms can be brewed quite quickly in Galilee because of the hills. The wind gets funneled down through the valleys, and very suddenly storms can break without warning. So obviously it was quite calm when they set out on this crossing the lake. It would have been that long a journey, I suppose. But having had a busy day, Jesus was tired, and he went to sleep as soon as the boat set out. Now Jesus told them to go, and so they went. As I said just now, sometimes there can be storms on that Sea of Galilee. I'll show you a short video now, which will show you a storm. On a boat, then you'd have been a bit scared. You'd have been tossed around rather a lot, wouldn't you? That was quite a storm. I imagine it was worse than that when Jesus and disciples went across, because the fishermen would have been used to storms, but this was the mother of all storms. They hadn't seen one like this before. Now, Rembrandt captured this scene very well in one of his famous paintings. See, that encapsulates the disciples struggling to keep the sails up and to keep the boat stable. And there's some are waking Jesus up, who was asleep in the stern. So, yes, a very, very stormy scene, wasn't it? Now, let's note a few things about this story. First of all, Jesus told them to go. He said, "Let's go over to the other side." So they did what he said. Now, he must have known what was going to happen. He knew it knows everything. So he must have known a storm would come. He was so confident they'd get across safely that he fell asleep. He was tired. He had no worries about that trip. He knew they would cross safely. He knew the storm was coming, but he knew they would get through safely. So why then did he tell them to go when he knew the storm was coming? Well, I think, first of all, to test their faith. Help them to learn to trust him. Did they really think he would let them drown on that trip? Did they really think he would drown himself too? What did they expect him to do when they woke him up? What did they really expect him to do? To help bail out the water? Help to tidy up the rigging? They probably didn't know what they expected. They just knew that they had to wake him up because they were absolutely at the end of their tether. They didn't know what was going to happen. They had to wake him up. How could you sleep? They said to him. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care about us? They really think he didn't care. So what did they expect him to do? We know what he did, of course. He stood up in the boat and said, quiet, be still. And the storm stopped. Then he upbraided them. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Don't you trust me to keep you safe? Have you not been with me long, but don't you really know who I am yet? So Jesus stopped the storm. It was also, I think, to help them recognize who he really was. They were on a learning curve, these disciples. They decided to follow Jesus. They'd seen his miracles, but they hadn't really grasped just yet who he was, who he really was. They had to learn gradually, come to terms of who he was. And this was a demonstration of the fact he was God. He was the creator. He had power over nature. So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. With authority. Authoritative words, weren't they? And so the disciples said, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. What sort of man is this? Can just stand up in a boat and say, stop? Now notice, it didn't say the wind died down, became quieter. The storm stopped completely. It was a total calm, not a breath of wind. No wonder the disciples were gobsmacked by it. They couldn't grasp how Jesus could just do that. Say, stop, be quiet. And the wind obeyed him. The sea died down. It was calm again. So this was part of their learning curve about who Jesus was. We know that not long afterwards, Peter made that confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it took them time to grasp who he was. But this was part of that learning curve. You see, Jesus was the creator. We read in John chapter 1. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So that Jesus wasn't just a teacher, a rabbi, who worked a few miracles, did some teaching. He was God in the flesh, we believe. So that means he had the power to overrule the forces of nature. Stand up and say, quiet, be still, and the wind had to obey. It couldn't help obeying him because he was God. He had that authority. He was the creator. What then does this passage have to say to us 2,000 years later? Well, life is rather like a voyage, isn't it? And we can be accosted by various storms as we sail on the sea of life, if you like, through the years of our lives. So a life can be likened to a voyage. We set out when we're born, we embark on our life. And we do encounter storms. I don't suppose anyone has ever lived who hasn't faced some difficulty in their lives, some problem, some challenge. And these storms can threaten to knock us off course. As Christians, we're not immune to storms in our lives. We face them, and they can be challenging. What are some of the storms we face then? Just a few examples here. sickness, bereavement, rejection, disappointments, broken relationships, just to name a few of the storms that can meet us as we're going through life, that can challenge our faith and can knock us off course if we're not careful. Now, let's remember what happened on that storm on Galilee. The disciples had to learn that Jesus could bring them through that storm. And when we feel challenged in our lives, when things happen to us that shake our faith, we need to look to Jesus, who has the power to take us through, to still those storms, and bring us safely through that particular part of our lives, that particular challenging time. So the one who said, "Quiet, be still," to the sea on Galilee can silence and bring peace and quiet in the midst of our storms too, the things we face in life, challenging circumstances, the anxieties, the losses we face. He can calm our storms and give us peace, give us the kind of peace that no one else can give us. Jesus rebuked the storm. He said, "Quiet, be still." And he can rebuke the storms in our lives if we trust him and have faith in him. Now, Jesus faced his storm when he died on the cross, when he was abandoned by God. "My God, my God," he cried, "why have you forsaken me?" Because our sin was on his shoulders, God turned his face away from Jesus, couldn't look on his own son because our sin was on his body. And so Jesus went through that terrible storm, that time of blackness and darkness for us, so that we would not have to face a storm of judgment in the future. Jesus faced that terrible storm, the blackest time of his life, first time ever separated from God, his Father. A darker storm than we should ever face. The judgment we deserve was taken by him, so that if we trust him, we never need to face the storm of judgment. So if we accept what he did for us, then we are safe from the storm of judgment in the future. And also we have his presence with us through the storms of life here and now. There was once a boat that was going through a storm, and the passengers were getting very worried, being tossed around by the waves. As one of the passengers said, "I'll go up and see if I can find the captain and ask him what our chances are." So this passenger went onto the deck. He had to struggle to hold against the railings to stop being washed overboard. And he went to the captain's cabin. It was too windy. The wind was shrieking. He couldn't actually talk to the captain. But the captain just turned around. He was concentrating on steering. He turned around and smiled at him. The man went back and said to his passengers, "It'll be okay. The captain smiled at me." The captain was in control. Now, our captain, Jesus, is smiling. He's not a tiny bit perturbed about things happening in the world. We hear the news every day. We think, goodness knows what's going to happen. All these terrible things happening. But he's the captain. He's in control. He's smiling. And so if we have faith in him, then we don't need to panic. You may know this song, which we sing with the children sometimes. If you know it, and join in.
Oh,
Yes, the storms will come, but with Jesus on board, if he's our captain, we'll survive. When our earthly voyage is over, we reach the safety of heaven, guaranteed by Jesus' resurrection. We'll anchor in that heavenly shore, as one of our hymns says. When the storms of life are over, we have reached safety. In the meantime, let's trust him, take us through every storm we face, and he won't let us down. He will say, "Quiet, be still."